Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
I'm identified as Lord Byron. You know the one they call that Holy Ghost Siren. So get up and get down to the smooth sound, cause I'ma kick it. The King of Satan's coming down and I'm all up in it. Everybody sing along with this track produced by Payback. Give me some of that.
You guys ready for the word today? If you weren't here last week, my gosh, I am sorry. I'm really sorry. You missed it. And that's the thing about following Jesus. You have to be sensitive. People don't like to hear that they miss things. You know, what is that they call it now? FOMO, right? Fear of missing out, right? And people have a fear of missing out with everything except God. Except church. And that could be part of corporate church's fault, because church in America has become so in a box, so this every week, so go to church, stand there, hear a word, go home, and people come to expect that. But how many think we should break out of that box? Amen. Only three people? Y'all are like, I like the box. No. Let's break out of that box. Tell your neighbor we're going to break out that box. And so when you break out that box, God's going to break out. And he's going to do things. And last week, we just had an amazing time. And we ended up staying here an hour after, almost till almost 2 o'clock, laying hands and anointing people with oil. And, I had many people reach out. Thank you, guys. You know, some of you may have felt like, man, pastor was just real broken, and is he okay? And I'm good. I mean, it was a word of revelation that you can be weak and still anointed. But what my wife and I were really feeling is the burden of you, the burden of the people, that there are so many of us in this body that you go to church every week, but you're still struggling, that you're here in this presence and you're still struggling. You're still going through things. And I just feel like God was saying to you, get up. You're anointed. Remember who you are. And today I just kind of want to continue on that thought. And I don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to do, but he's going to do whatever he wants. And because what I feel this week is kind of the second part to that. And I didn't plan this in any way, because you can't really plan for the Holy Spirit to just do what he does sometimes. I mean, you prepare, but then you just got to go, okay. And what I really feel since early this morning is just, I really just feel the heart of God. So I want to encourage you guys to lean in today, and don't just come in like you normally come in, because sometimes we just go to church with no expectation. And when you don't have an expectation, there's nothing for God to work with. And you need to kind of come in and lean in with some kind of expectation, with at least a prayer, where before you walk in these doors, you go, now, Lord, speak to me today. Speak to me today. I mean, if it just starts with that, give me something to work with. Come on, somebody. Amen. Give me something to water. Give me something to just throw some anointing on. Because some of us come in with no expectation. Just kind of like, well, I'm here. What are we going to do? And in those cases, usually God doesn't do anything. And then we blame the church. We blame the pastor. But if you'll come in with an expectation, that creates a demand. And where there's a demand, there'll be a supply. Are you all ready to place a demand on God today? Come on, let's pray. Holy Spirit, you're here. Come on, just close your eyes. Can you feel God? Exercise your spiritual strength right now and just feel God right now. He's here. And he's not mad at you. Spirit, speak to us as only you can. Amen. I want to take you to Psalms chapter 28, 7 and 9. We're going to take and receive communion today. Pastor Willard, don't let me forget. But before we get into that, I want to talk to you about the anointing. Because last week's word that came forth was, I'm weak but still anointed. I gave you some understanding of how you can wait on the Lord, which means to bind together with him, and you can receive strength. Like it says in Isaiah, he will mount you as wings of eagles. That's that divine intervention. He will cause you to run and not faint. That's that divine enablement, that divine ability. And then the last one was, he cause you to walk and not stumble, you know, and that's that third way of divine encouragement. And those are all three ways that God will encourage you and strengthen you when you are weak. But the basis of all of this comes from understanding who you are. And I believe the church in America, I believe you in these seats, I believe our church, you guys have gotten away from who you are. And how do I know? How do I know? Because some of us are so casual in our faith. We're so casual in our walk with God. We've become so regular. We're not regular. We're special. We're not like everybody else. We're different. Yeah, I'm different. That's your song, huh? Psalms 28, 7 and 9. The Lord is my strength. So that's part of sitting in the front row. You always are going to get it. You always going to get it. It's a splash zone. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Look what it says here. It says, my heart trusted in him and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Now listen to this. It says, the Lord is their strength and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. See, David was writing this psalm, and David was very prophetic in his songs. Some of the things that he wrote were not for him. And I believe at this moment, God gave him a prophetic glimpse of a generation, us, where a group of people were the anointed. A group of people were anointed by God and marked by God. And he says this declaration, the Lord, he doesn't say is my strength. He says the Lord is their strength. I believe he was talking about us. And then he says, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Church, what you got to understand is you're anointed. You're anointed. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, 9 through 10. And this is a powerful chapter here. You got to read it on your own. Start with 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 1 starts out with a woman by the name of Hannah. And Hannah can't get pregnant. She got a man, but for whatever reason, they can't have a baby. And they try and they try. Nothing happens. Her clock is ticking. She's getting older. And she prays and she prays. And one day she goes into the temple and she prays so hard that the priest Eli looks at her and he gets upset because she's praying prayers. And he looks at her and he goes, this woman must be drunk. Because she wasn't praying them nice prayers. She's praying them prayers like, God, you better do something. Because I've been praying and I've been praying and nothing's changed. Has anybody ever prayed prayers like that? Prayers where the snot is running down your nose, the tears are coming out your eyes, and you don't care because you're praying. She's praying one of those prayers. The Bible puts it like this, as she opened her mouth, words weren't coming out. And Eli says, man, this lady must be drunk. See, this is why, folks, you can't be judging other people. How they look, how they pray, how they come in here. So Eli goes up to rebuke her. He goes up to basically kick her out the church. And he goes, she must be drunk. Now, there's only one other area in the Bible where believers were mistaken for drunk. And that's in the book of Acts chapter 2, when they began to speak in other tongues. I believe Hannah was praying so hard. She stepped out of her time and she began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And guess what happens? The Holy Ghost hears her prayers. And she says, Lord, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you. If you would just let me have a baby, Lord, I won't keep him as my own. I won't be selfish with him. I'll give him back to you. See, Hannah understood something about her life that I wish I could get a church full of us to understand, and that is this. We are not to produce anything to give us glory. Everything we're to produce is to give him glory. Amen. I didn't plant this church so people could say, man, that Pastor Sergio, what an amazing man. He's a man of God. Baloney. That ain't why I'm in this. I'm in this to just do God's will. See, Hannah understood, God, I don't want something for me. I want something to give you glory. I want something, Lord, for you to be glorified in. I need you to catch this today, okay? I need you to catch this. She wants a son so bad. But not for her glory, for God's glory. See, some of you prayed for things. A career. A college education. A ministry. A house. A car. And if you're completely being honest, you know it's all about you. Some of you are even strutting around. Look at me. I got my nice house. This is my title at work. This is my pay stub. This is what I drive. This is where I live. Good for you. But can I just blow your wig back a little bit? Hang on to it. You were never supposed to produce something that brought glory to you. As a believer, it's supposed to bring glory to him. Now, get the house. Get the car. Get the title at work. Get the education. But you better give it back to him when he gives it to you. Get the promotion. But let's learn from Hannah. Because God then answers Hannah's prayer. She has a baby boy. Baby comes into her life. Read the story. It's amazing. Baby comes into life. She's so blessed. She cries tears. She finally has her answer to her prayers. People can quit talking about her. People can quit ridiculing her. She's got it. And the Bible says she raises it up to about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old till the baby's able to take care of itself in some way. And she makes an appointment to go talk to that same priest that almost threw her out of the temple for praying like that. And she brings him to her. And he's like, what's this? And she says, I told the Lord, if he gave me a son, that he would serve him all of his days. And she walked away from the temple. And she walked away from the thing that she prayed for and gave it back to God. That young man grew up to become Samuel. And Samuel was a prophet. And it doesn't say this about any other prophet, that there wasn't a single word that fell to the ground from his mouth. In other words, everything he spoke and prophesied came to pass. Everything he spoke out happened. He was anointed. And so as Hannah is leaving this temple, giving God the thing she produced, she says this, God will guard the feet of his faithful servants. 1 Samuel 2, 9 and 10. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants. The wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It's not by strength that one prevails. Linda, I'm going to have to ask you to just stay seated somewhere when you come back in, okay? It's not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. Now listen to this. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, but he will give strength to his king, and he will exalt the horn of his anointed. She just gave away her biggest blessing, but again, she taps in to an encounter with God, and now she begins to prophesy. She's prophesying this over her son that she's given away, but she's tapping in and making a declaration that lasts to this day, and that is this: God will give strength and exalt the horn of the anointed. Guys, that's us. That's us. But my question to you today is this: who are you living for? Have you forgot your anointed? Because see, the anointed understand who anointed them. Because nobody in the Bible anoints themselves. The anointing must be poured out upon you. And we know in the New Testament, our anointing comes from Jesus Christ himself. But see, the problem is we don't know we're anointed, and we don't even know what the anointed means. So let me tell you what it means to be anointed. Number one, the anointing. Write this down somewhere. The anointing means this: it's God's endorsement. It's God's endorsement. It means you're endorsed by God. Marked by God. When you move, he moves. When you speak, he speaks. We're endorsed by him. When you walk into a building, he walks into a building. When you go to a business meeting, he goes to a business meeting. That's what the anointed means. You're endorsed. You're endorsed by God. This is why single people, why would you marry somebody who's not? I'm just going to let that marinate like some carne asada right there. Why'd you marry somebody that's not endorsed by God? Here's one. Why would you want somebody to marry that's not endorsed by God? Because she got a pretty face, thin waist. I'll stop right there. The anointing means it's God's endorsement. See, some of you done forgot whose you are. Some of you are moving like you're not anointed, and you are anointed. Some of you are thinking like you're not anointed. You are anointed. You're endorsed by God. When you walk on that football field, he's right there with you. Amen. When you walk on that basketball court, he's right there with you. When you go to that business meeting, wherever you go, he is right there with you. And he endorses you. The second thing the anointing means, the anointing is God's endowment or his divine enablement. You need to understand this. You're empowered. Amen. Because you're anointed. You're anointed for every challenge. Every challenge. But you done forgot. So the Lord wants me to remind you today. Doesn't matter what challenge you're in, you're anointed to overcome it. Eddie, just close your eyes right now. I speak that over you. Close your eyes, Eddie. Eddie Cobb, I'm talking to you. Close your eyes right now. Father, I stir up the anointing for him to overcome this challenge in his life. We don't know why this happened. We We don't know why it's been this way, but we know he's anointed to overcome this challenge. Becky, close your eyes. And Father, I thank you for Becky. I don't know why this has happened to her family, but I thank you, Lord, that as challenging as this trial has been, as she has taken care of Eddie, she is anointed to overcome this situation. And we remind them both, they are not alone. You are with them. And they're anointed. Man, I could take all day in here just doing that over every single one of you. So you need to catch this in a generalization. But understand that I don't know what you're going through. But you're anointed to overcome it. The anointing is God's endorsement. It's God's divine endowment. It's God saying, not only am I with you, but I'm giving you the ability in everything that you do. So you get an advancement at work. You get a promotion. And you step into that and you go, oh man, this is tougher than I thought. You're anointed. He'll give you the ability to do that. You graduate high school, you step into college, you realize, uh-oh, this ain't high school. God anoints you. And he mixes your ability with his supernatural ability, and he gets you through it so that you don't quit. You were single, now you're married. And you wake up one day and go, this is harder than I thought. He's not the dude I thought he was. What happened to the nice girl on them dates? You're anointed for the challenge. Don't quit. Somebody was praying for a baby. Then the baby came, and you can't go out no more. She keeps you up all night. Colic? And now you got a headache. And you're thinking, why? Listen, you're anointed for that, Dad. Amen. You're anointed for that, Mom. Amen. You're anointed. But some of us forget who we are and whose we are. Let me prove it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7, verse 20 is, I believe, prophetic for where we're at right now. See, what's happening in Deuteronomy chapter 8, 7, and 20 is God is giving a warning to the children of Israel. He's giving them a warning because he's about to bless their socks off. He's about to give them everything they've been praying for 300 years. And he's about to do that for some of you. For some of you, you've already received it. Look what he says. He says, for the Lord your God is bringing you in to a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, springs that flow out of valleys and hills. Now you got to remember who he's talking about. He's talking to people that have been living in the wilderness in tents. It got so bad, he had to bring water out of a rock. And now he's prophesying to him, guys, your struggles are over. I'm about to bring you into the land of brooks of water, fountains, springs, flowing out of the valley and hills. Listen, a land of wheat and barley. Remember, they've only been eating manna. A land of vines, fig trees, pomegranates. He's prophesying this and people's mouths are watering. It's a land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, which means it's never going to run out. In which you will lack nothing. Guys, he's telling this to slaves. People that have been eating their turmoil from being in slavery. People now that haven't had a good meal outside of manna for years. Look what it says. In which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones and iron, out of whose hills you can dig into copper. Keep going. Keep going. Next verse. Help me out, guys. Come on. All right. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall, listen to this, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Yes. How many know that's what we're supposed to do?
Yep.
Come on, give God a good praise clap. But he gives us a warning here. He says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commands, his judgments, his statutes, which I commanded you today, lest when you've eaten and you're full, lest when you graduate and get the degree, lest when you start the business and it takes off, lest when I give you the man you've been praying for because you want to get married, lest when you get the baby, lest when you start the family, he says, beware to not forget the Lord. He says, when you have eaten and you're full, in other words, when you have the fulfillment and you've built beautiful houses, dwell in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, that means when your business and your money is right. Keep going. Give me the next one. And your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. He says, beware of that. From the house of bondage I brought you out of, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents, scorpions, addiction, loneliness, poverty, broken homes, heartbreak. Come on, whatever it was, that was you. That was me. He brought us out of those thirsty lands. Keep going. Next one. I brought you water for out of the flintity of a rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. And then you say in your heart, keep going, my power and my ability and my hand, I did this. See, some of you would never have the gumption to say that with your mouth. I give you that. But maybe you say it with your actions. We have enough sense to go, nah, that ain't coming out of my mouth. But your actions demonstrate you think it's you. You think it's you. You think all these blessings that you got are because of you. Can I help you today? Don't be a fool. Because there are hundreds of thousands of people just like you, and they don't got what you got, Eddie. Thousands of young men that were abused like you by their dad. If they didn't make it out, they're incarcerated. Again, I could go through this whole room. We all got our story. Single mom. You think it was you? No. Because there's tons of single moms. They didn't make it. And their kids are in prison. And yours is free. You may still be cooking for him every day. And he's 35 years old. But you made it. And you think it was you. Oh, no, no, Pastor. I know it was him. Then why don't you get involved and show God some thanks? Why don't you use your time, your treasure, your talent to say, thank you, God. I know where my blessings come from. Did you know in the New Testament, that's what the tithe says to God? Read the book of Hebrews. It says that Jesus receives tithes there from us. And our tithes speak. And you know what our tithes say? Our tithes say, God, I know it was you that has blessed me. That's what the tithe says. Can I let you in on a little secret? I'm afraid not to tithe. Because I don't want to be on the other side of somebody that has forgotten where they came from. You know, I've had the awesome opportunity to be around some incredible men of God. And what's always interesting to me is they tell me the same stories. I've been around Pastor Charles for years, and I know most of his stories. I hear him in his messages. I hear him when we talk. It's the same stories. Some of you probably feel like that with me. You know all my stories. Here he goes again, talking about when he moved here from Florida and what they had to go through. Here he goes again, talking about how he met Pastor Tina and how he hadn't dated for 8 years. Here we go again. Some of you are like, all right, here, I know this story right here. And you get on your phone and you start texting and scrolling and doing all that. But let me tell you why that is. One thing I've learned about great men and women, they're always close to their miracle moments. We never forget where we came from. We never forget who gave us the blessing. So you're always going to hear about the miracles God did for us when we came from Florida. Sorry. But can I tell you why that's an advantage? Because it keeps me connected to the source. Some of you have forgot what God did for you. You don't talk about it. You don't tell nobody. You're just drinking the Kool-Aid of the last couple years. And cool, the last couple years you've been cool. But let's take it back 5 years ago. In Oak Park, The Ridge, Meadow View. Do I got to call every hood here, or are you catching this today? And what you were doing and who you were doing it with. You should be locked up. You shouldn't have good kids, but you do. You think that's your genes? Never forget it. Because see, this is the problem. This is why we leave the anointed place. We start believing our own hype. We start thinking it's me, it's this, it's that. We start looking at the world and going, oh, well, they got blessings. I'm just like them. You are not like them. You are so different than them. And can I just tell you something and you could stay humble? Can I tell you something and you stay humble? Promise you'll stay humble? Promise? Promise you won't get a big head? You're better than them. Yeah, I said it. I said it because the word says it. We ain't all the same. And you know why? Because we get it from our daddy. Single people, you go outside of that blood covenant, I'm sorry. And try to marry somebody that don't know Jesus. Good luck with that. You downgrading, homie. You dating down. Date up. You dating down. You dating another species. But she look good. She gonna look good, but be bad. You're better than that. You're better than that. You're anointed. Come on, reach over and tell your neighbor you're anointed. Tell him. Tell him like you believe it too. I want to leave you with a few things here. The anointing means God's ability, God's endorsement. We have a problem with a generation in America right now. People are making it about them. Church in America is not about God anymore. Church in America is about you. It's about the people in the church. We want it to be about us. We want a church service that is quick and to the point. We want to hurry up so we can go watch the game. We want a message that just makes me feel good and teach me how to be a success. And you're forgetting. You're not just here for you. You're here to worship Him. You're here to hear from Him. You're here to encounter Him. Tell your neighbor, it's not about you. It's about Him. And there's a story in the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 2. It's a story of Elijah and Elisha. And in this story, Elisha, the older prophet, Elijah, I should say, the older prophet, you could read it on your own time. He's about to ascend into heaven. And the younger prophet, Elisha, wants the anointing. Because he has walked with this guy for years. And he has seen this guy's prayers be answered. He has seen this guy call down fire from heaven. He has seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And he's like, man, I want that. So Elijah's about to go home. And read the story. He goes to this place and he goes to the young prophet and he says this to him. He says, listen, I'm about to go over here to this place, Gilgal. You just stay here. And Elisha, the younger one, says to him, no, no. Where you go, I'll go. I could just see this conversation in my head. He's trying to let the younger generation off the hook. He's basically trying to say, son, you don't want this. It's not what you think it is. It's hard. It's gonna hurt. You have to pick up your cross. He tells him, look, why don't you just stay here? I'm going to Gilgal. The younger prophet says, nope. I want what you have. Where you go, I go. If it was good enough for you, it's good enough for me. So the prophet says, all right, suit yourself. The first place he goes is called Gilgal. What is so significant about this place is it's the place of cutting. That's what it means, the place of cutting. It was literally the place in the Old Testament where when the children of Israel were about to possess the promised land, God was finally about to bring them into their promise. He wakes up Joshua in the middle of the night and he says, hey, I'm about to give you your promise, but you can't go in unless you gather all the men of Israel and you circumcise them. Now, I saw some of the faces of the men in this place. Because these aren't children. These are grown men. These are grown men that have walked with God without any cutting. Some of you in this room have been walking with God, but you constantly avoid the cutting, the sacrifices. You go to church, but you don't give. That's cutting. That hurts. No. You go to church, but you won't serve. I'm not trying to serve nobody. Give me the word. I'm good. You go to church, but you don't pray. Because it's hard to pray. It's boring. I don't feel like it. I'd rather watch a movie. So we walk with God with no cutting. And we wonder why. We have no anointing. So Elijah gets to Gilgal, and that's the place of cutting. And so back to Joshua. Joshua calls all the guys, all the warriors, these guys in their 30s and 40s, and they're ready. Yeah, what do you want, Joshua? And this is the greatest meeting of kingsmen ever known to man. It's like the movie 300. They're ready. And what do you want us to do, Joshua? And Joshua says, you guys ready? Yeah. He says, drop your pants. And the guys look at Joshua like you just looked at me. what kind of church is this? And they start undoing and dropping, and Joshua begins to explain to them, guys, we're covenant people. And our father, Abraham, cut a covenant with God. And in that covenant, all the males in this covenant have to be circumcised to demonstrate that we are not controlled by our flesh. We are controlled by our God. Guys, we have lived 30 and 40 years. We have not done what our fathers have done. We will not possess our promise until we go through a cutting. And I can only imagine, with tears in their eyes, these warriors clenched their hands, bit on a leather belt. Come on, like some of you got a tattoo in jail. You remember that. Just bite on a cloth or something. And Joshua goes by. Shoo, shoo, shoo. And he cuts. Guys, you can't have the anointing without cutting. What is cutting? Sacrifice. Christians are trying to live and follow God without cutting. They don't want to lay anything down, but they want to be anointed. Listen, when you understand you're anointed, you're willing to make sacrifices. Teenager, you're anointed. But you know what that anointing means? You got to be cut. You got to sacrifice. You don't get to go out and get drunk after the game. You're anointed. You don't go out and have random sex. You don't sleep around. You're anointed. See, it's a decision to make. I didn't write the book. I just preach it to you. And we got too many people trying to do it without any cutting. There's sacrifices involved. It's not just teenagers, it's everybody. Single people, you're anointed. Now, here's the amazing thing, right? As the prophet's taking the younger guy, the first place is Gilgal. But after he leaves Gilgal, he goes to a place called Bethel. Bethel's called the house of God. It's the place of encounters. It's the place where Jacob wrestled the angel. Many people believe that angel was actually Jesus Christ himself. And he was able to meet Christ, wrestle with him. That'd have been a WrestleMania moment right there. But the encounter didn't happen till after Gilgal. See, what is Gilgal? Let me put it in a nutshell for you. Gilgal is when you kill stuff before it kills you. God's been on you. You need to quit drinking. You need to stop drinking. You need to stop drinking. You come to church, sure you do, but every Friday and Saturday night, you're still sipping. And we go, oh, but it's not a sin. It's not a sin. No, it's not. It's not a sin. But if God is asking it from you, give it to him. Because he's trying to let you know, right now it's not bad, but when you get the promotion and stress is high, when you are in the heat of your marriage, she's acting super crazy, because you can handle crazy, super crazy, he knows you'll turn to that drink. Kill you. So in Gilgal is where he tries to get you to give him the thing that will kill you later on. 19 years old, I gave Jesus my sex life. I did. You know why? Because it would destroy me later on if I didn't give it to him. And I've had to give it to him over and over and over again. See, Gilgal is not a place you only go to one time. I was 19 years old. I was coming out of a lifestyle of just promiscuity, sleeping with my girlfriend. And you guys know the stories. I've told them to you many times because I live close to that miracle. And at Gilgal, it was where God said, you know what? I don't want you to date ever again. He said, you wait on me, I'll bring your wife. You know how hard that was for me? You know why that was hard? because I was dating somebody that I thought I loved. And I cried at Gilgal. I cried when I picked up the phone. I said, hey, can you meet me? And I still remember the place. We met in Midtown, the little restaurant area. I still remember it. And I walked in there with tears in my eyes. She was like, are you okay? I said, no. She said, why? I said, because we need to break up. And she began to cry. Then she began to get angry, yell at me. And I cried. What was happening? Cutting. God was saying, son, I know this feels so hard, but if you don't give me your sex life, it's going to kill you someday. If you don't give this to me, you're going to get to a place and on platforms where this thing's going to take you out. And I sat there at this table with my girlfriend. I said, I'm sorry, but it's over. She began to swear at me. You know how it is. Some of you fellas like, amen, Pastor. Damn, my heart, Pastor, I know. And she wouldn't understand. I wasn't trying to be like, the Lord told me to break. I didn't do all that. I just said, I'm sorry. And I just wept and I cried. And I walked away. I never saw her ever again. And I believe the Lord did that for me. He said, I got you. It wasn't long after that, because after Gilgal, the prophet goes to Bethel. And at Gilgal, he tries to tell Elijah again, hey man, you don't have to keep coming. Why don't you stay here? And I believe the younger Elisha says, I already went through this. Let's go. They get to Bethel. Bethel means house of God. It's the place of encounters. After I did that, I was praying out here. A few days later, weeks, I don't remember how far, I encountered God, and God began to download in me the ministry he had for me. Sitting in the Southgate Parks Library parking lot, reading my Bible, Matthew 28 jumps out and he says, I'm taking you, you will preach my gospel in all the nations of the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I began to get mental visions, getting on planes, standing on platform. He said, I'm going to use you to plant churches all throughout the world. I had an encounter. That encounter has carried me now for over 30 years. That encounter has produced y'all. But those encounters don't come till you first go to Gilgal. As some of you have been walking around Gilgal, you don't want to sacrifice, you don't want to give, you don't want to serve, you don't want to submit, you don't want to give God anything. You're just like, tell me the rules, what's right and what's wrong, I'll do that. God's saying, no, talk to me. Talk to me. Because let me tell you what's coming after we get you through Gilgal, an encounter. As some of you have been trying to be anointed without an encounter, it don't work. Some of you have been trying to be a churchgoer without an encounter, it don't work. Here's what I want to leave you with today. Take something out to write with. A phone, your tablet. If you need a pen, the ushers will bring something to you. But I want to give you some homework today. You're anointed. You're God's. You're divinely enabled by God. You're endorsed by God. But the only way we can get the anointing out of you is at Gilgal. It's got to be a cutting. Here's the thing, guys. I can't tell you what it is. It's between you and Jesus. Because it's different for everybody. It's different for everybody. And Gilgal's not a place you go one time. You visit it time and time again. As you increase in your anointing, you may have to go back to Gilgal. God, what is it you want now? God, what is it needs to be cut now? I've been there many times. But what I'm going to ask you to do in this moment, I'm going to pray for you in a minute before we dismiss. I want you to remember what God's brought you from. When you go out to eat today, you need to remember who gave you the money to do this with your family. Because how many of us in here remember growing? growing up, my family didn't go out to eat. My mom gave me the famous line, "We got hamburgers at home." I remember that line. "Mom, let's go to McDonald's." "No, no, no, we got McDonald's at home." But you take your kids out every week. You walk into a nice house. You get in a car that you ain't got to pray it starts after you leave here. See, some of y'all forgot. I had a car that ran on gas and tongues. Pray to start that car. Listen, God's blessed you. So I want to ask you two things. Number one, have you given him back the blessing like Hannah? He gave you the promotion. He gave you the title. He gave you the education. Have you given it back to him? He gave you the house. He gave you the car. He gave you the family. He gave you the children. He gave you the beautiful wife. He gave you the husband. Are you just complaining or have you given it back to him? So here's what I want you to do when you go home today. I want you to ask the Lord to meet with you at Gilgal. And I want you to ask him, "Lord, what is it you require of me? Because I know I'm anointed. And I know the anointing cannot be released until I'm cut, until I sacrifice. What is it you require of me?" For some of you, it might be, "I'll never touch another drink again as long as I live." For others of you, you may have to break up with somebody you're dating right now. I don't know. I don't know. Some of you, it's as easy as you've been playing games too much. It's time you start tithing. For others of you, it's as simple as, hey, you need to become a member of a church. Others of you, I don't know. See, that's the beauty of this thing. It's between you and God. We say it all the time. It's relationship, not religion. Well, is it? Because if it's relationship, he should be able to talk to you. If it's relationship, then he should be able to talk. You should be able to listen and obey. I don't know what it is, but I know this. It's something for every single one of us. Now, when you write it down, don't get scared because it's probably something you can't do on your own. When God gave me that word to stop dating, it lasted 8 years. I don't know how I did that. If you knew the way I was living before God, oh my Lord, you don't, I don't know how I did that. But you know how I did it? Through his power, his ability. And I wasn't miserable in that season. I wasn't like, "Oh, I haven't had a date in 8 years." No, fool. They're going to prolong that season. Nobody going to want to date you like that. So I did it with a smile on my face, money in my pocket. Come on. Amen. And with his divine enablement, I was able to do it. So what you're going to write down or what he's going to speak is probably going to be something that you're going to go, "I don't know how I can do this." And if that hits your mind, that's probably the thing. Because God wants us to rely on him. What is it that some of you have been tiptoeing around for so long? "I know I should be serving." Then serve. "I know I should go on a missions trip, but I've just been making excuses." Exactly. But maybe it's the time you cut. Because see, after the cut comes the encounter. And the encounters are the things that keep you. This is why we have a generation deconstructing their faith. No encounters. But they're not having encounters because they don't want to be cut. They want to walk with God without sacrifice and get into their promised land. You have no biblical proof that that can happen. It only happens through the cutting.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.